I think we'll just go ahead and get into the Word. I'm going to be in 2 Kings chapter 4, which is funny because my daughter was sharing with me yesterday about 2 Kings chapter 4, but I'm actually passing up the scriptures that she's going to share on, or will eventually probably, and share down starting with verse 38. 2 Kings, chapter 4. Some of you may be familiar with this story, but, when Jesus shared, and when Paul, the Apostle Paul, shared, he shared from the Old Testament. The New Testament hadn't been written yet. So when Jesus walked the earth, the Old Testament would be written after his death, and in most cases many years after that. And so they shared Jesus from the Old Testament scriptures. The Spirit of God, the difference was they had the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would open their eyes and would teach them Christ from the Word. And when Jesus said, like in John 5:39, he said, "Search the scriptures." At that time, the only scriptures they had was the Old Testament scriptures. So I'm going to be sharing here from the Old Testament, and I believe that these scriptures can be applied to our lives and can be applied to the things that the Lord wants to do in our life. And, you know, there are certain things that are common, common problems that people have no matter where you go. And of course, there's a common answer to that, and that answer is Jesus. And that answer is Jesus, not just his work for us, but his life within us. And because a lot of people, when they think about Jesus, they think about Jesus way up there. And you think about, Lord, come down here and help, or Lord, send help, or whatever. But there is his life that is in us when we got born again. And there is a treasure. In fact, the scriptures talk about that. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That treasure is Jesus. So that the power would be of God and not us. He put the power in us, and many people talk about that. Many preachers talk about that, having the power. We've got the power. But the scripture says that the power is him in us, the treasure. He's the treasure within us. And that we don't have to look to our own resources. When I say our own resources, our own ability to handle things, our own patience, our own love, all of that comes from him and comes from the fruit of the Spirit. And so there's a strength and a presence of the Lord right now. And I fear it's a treasure that we hardly ever dip into because we're so busy thinking of him as being far away. And that treasure, I love the way that it says, because it's referring to the resources of his nature that are within us. Thank God. You know, anybody ever get impatient? there is that nature, the nature of Jesus, the life of Christ. We have life in us. And so I want to talk about that along those lines, but here, starting in verse, Cassie, we're in 2 Kings 4.
Thanks, sir.
But we're not going through the scriptures that you shared.
Skipping over those ones.
I failed to tell you that you were in the same book, the same chapter, and
wow.
Yeah, as me. In verse 38. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth, which means a famine, in the land. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, Set on the great pot, and see the pottage for the sons of the prophets. In verse 39, And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full. And came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. Verse 40. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. Verse 41, and he said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out for the people, that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. Okay, so it begins with talking about these sons of the prophets, and some people think that they were that this was sort of a school, and in fact they are mentioned in several different locations, so it feels like there's a lot of these schools going on in Bethel, Jericho, and Gilgal. And so I thought it was interesting that at this school, at this place where they are learning God, in other words, this is more like a church gathering than it is just people that are hungry. They are the sons of the prophets. They are about to learn one of the best lessons, not somebody from behind a pulpit, but somebody, and this somebody is, in this story, Elisha, the prophet, and he took Elijah's place, and he is the one that they look to, and instead of just talking about God, he brings the Lord into this situation. He brings the living Lord that changes the death that's in the pot. We see in verse 38 also that there was a dearth, or what it calls a famine. And the famine is a real common thing that God uses, actually. You see that with, I think last time I was here, I might have shared on the prodigal son. And the prodigal son, there was a famine for him. I'm sharing back home in Texas on Abraham. There was a famine that came during his time. In the book of Exodus, and there's so many, many examples of that, but the book of Exodus, the famine is what brought them all the way down into Egypt where Joseph was, and they were taken care of and protected at that time. So the Lord will use a famine, and that's hard for us to understand. You could call the famine going through a dry spell spiritually. Anybody ever gone through a dry spell spiritually? You know, and it feels like a famine. And maybe you even pick up the Bible and you read it and you go, I'm getting nothing out of here. You know, it's like, grow, something come growing out of the pages, something come alive to me. And it's not there. And we go, well, what's wrong? Did I sin? We always go through all these things. But the famine puts you in a place where you begin to be hungry. Hungry. And hunger is good. Because we can go through our life. We can be Christians. We can go through our life. And, you know, we can go to church. And then we can do our jobs and do all this stuff. And just pass through life and not have a real hunger for the Lord. Jesus, one of the first things he said is, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. That's, folks, that's more than just being a Christian. That's saying, I want you, I need you, I want you in me, I want you, the strength that's on the inside of me, not just strengthen me as I do my job and as I take care of my family and as I do this. Do you kind of see the difference? One is he's up there and he's just blessing your job and he's looking at you like you're, you know, he knows your name, but he's looking at you like you're a job and you're a family, you know, all these things are you. And we're saying, you know, fix or help my life on earth. But he's wanting to help our life in earth. And we're the earth. We were made from the dust of the earth. Mm-hmm. Help us from the inside out instead of from the outside in.
Yes.
See? And so the famine is something that, you know, most people would go, okay, well, and I do like that first song that we sang, you know, it was talking about whether it's blessing time and abundance or whether it's going through hard times, you know, blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, more than if we're going through hard times and good times, blessed be his name, and go, okay, I'm with you on this. His life is in us at all times. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. We can draw from Jesus in that and not even be, I'm spiritual, bless you, even though I'm going through hard times. We can say, I'm not spiritual, this is hard, but you are my life, so I bless you because you're still my life. Amen. That may be all I've got right now, but I got you. And folks, is there anything greater that would honor him? Not just, I bless you in this suffering, but I look to you only as my life, and I don't want to live outside of you. I'm hungry for you. I'm needing you, again, because the Lord brought about a famine so that we would finally wake up and go, you know what, I need to change my emphasis from just going through life. The way I've seen it kind of in my life when I go through something like that is you put it in cruise control. You know, you got cruise control and you just set it and you go, here we go. You know, and now we're going to have self-driving cars. So it's even going to be worse. My whole life is just sitting here and let everything happen. Take me here, go do this, da-da-da-da. Instead of being active in our heart for the Lord and saying, Lord, you're what's important, and I need you in this situation. Yeah. Well, so we've got that similar situation right here. And so what does the prophet say? He says, okay, well, let's go out. Let's gather what we can. You know, all of you are prophets, sons of the prophets. You're men of God. You're people of God. Let's go out and bring that in and bring in what you've got. And we're going to feast on that, and we're going to have that to eat. And, you know, there's an old saying that you are what you eat, which would make me coconut cream pie. Because I like that. But, you know, it's important what you feed on, and we know that. We know that. And many people are health conscious and stuff like that. But more than being health conscious, we need to be the Lord conscious. It's important what we feed on spiritually. And a lot of times we're not as cognizant of the need to feed on good spiritual food. And then we wonder, well, why don't I have more of an interest to read the Word? Or why do I not pray as often as I should? Or why do I, you know, it's all these things that we go, well, why don't I feel more for God or feel moved? Why, how come I don't, why isn't God moving on me and all this stuff? But it's because we're not feeding on Him, and it's strengthening us, and it's growing, He is growing in us. And that life, His life, the nature of Jesus, the life of Jesus is the one who breaks forth, the one that wants to serve the Father, the one that will touch the poor, the one that will pray. Because we always think, well, I've got to pray, you know. And Jesus, you know, I'll make an outlandish statement. Jesus never prayed. Thank you. Don't run me out yet. He talked to His Father. He talked to His Father. This was an ongoing relationship. He just, you know, when He went out to spend time with the Father, you know, the disciple says, you know, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, Our Father. You know, it goes right to that. You know, we go, oh, Our Father, which art in heaven, you know, hallowed be thou. I'm saying all the prayer words. But Our Father, the one who lives in heaven, I love you. Hallowed be thy name. I want what's up there in you, down here in us. Is that good or not? I want what's real up there now in earth, not on earth, but in earth, as it is. As it is eternally there. A lot of people are going, well, you know, I'll get spiritual when I get to heaven. Well, that might be the wrong time to start trying to get ready. You know, the time is now. This is the time. And but try doing that apart from the life of Christ in you. Try doing that apart from the life of Christ in you. And what are you going to end up with? You're going to end up either being a nominal Christian or not a Christian at all, or something way less than what the life of Christ in us can produce and can bring forth to the glory of God and can do. You're driving down the road and you're not even thinking about it, and His life is in us, and all of a sudden you're praying for somebody. You're not trying to be spiritual. You're not in a church service. You're not doing it where somebody can see you. It's just coming forth because it's life, because he's life. Mm-hmm. And then you're drawing from wells within instead of showers from above. Mm-hmm. Does that make a difference?
Yeah.
See? And both are important, but Jesus is the one who said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Okay. You know, some of us, it's like, so I got a well in me? Yeah. You know, and every once in a while we burp, but that's not living wells coming out, you know. You know, well, was that it, Lord? Well, I think I got more in mine than that little burp. Or, what was that, a little spray or something came out of you? He will flow as life. Because have you ever gotten in a situation, maybe even when you come to church, you go, okay, I'm going to come to church, so I need to think about something spiritual. So if somebody asks me, you know, how am I doing? Or, you know what I mean? Let's see. Maybe I can get a scripture real quick or something. I know we have a Bible school in Texas, and sometimes we go out and do outreaches and stuff, or we have people that are going to come in visiting. And I've watched the students kind of go, oh man, I got to get ready for that. And I'm thinking, you know, we're supposed to be ready by his life, you know. And yes, it's fine to go dig some scriptures and stuff like that, but there should be stuff in us. And here's the kicker. He's in there already. It's not like he's not in there. Amen. It's not like he's not in there. But it's in the Old Testament, the Philistines used to go around and they would plug up all of the wells of Abraham. And they'd plug them up, and Abraham would come back and go, you're plugging up my wells, man. You know? And that's what the enemy does. He tries to plug up your wells. So what's the way to keep them from being plugged up? If they keep flowing, it's hard to put stuff in there to plug it up. See? Well, you don't do that by going, okay, I'm going to read the scripture all the time, and I'm going to just pray all the time. And you do that by your heart saying, Father, I want your son more in me. I want the greater one. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And that produces the prayer, and that produces. We're doing it the wrong way. We're trying to do things to get a flow of Jesus instead of our heart just opening up to the Father and saying, increase your son in me. Increase more of Jesus, yes. Less of me. More of Jesus, less of me. Amen. And when you pray that, even if you only do that on your job every once in a while or here and there, he will hear that because he wants his son to come out of you. All right, so back to our story. This one guy, they're all prophets, sons of the prophets. They're all men of God. But this one guy goes out and he gathers up this, it calls it a wild vine and wild gourds. And he comes back with a lap full and he puts it in the pot. And it's poison. And others are putting things in there too. And there's a whole bunch of the prophets, sons of the prophets. There's not just one, but one guy comes and brings poison and puts it in there, and it was mixed in with all everybody else's. The you could say the poison was mixed in with all the good, and there was way more good because there were more, all those guys picked the right stuff. One person brought in something that had poison in it. I remember a story. Cassie went to a Bible school many years ago, and there's a story that she told. She said, if you were really, really thirsty, you know, I'm thirsty, I need a cold glass of water, and somebody hands you a cold glass of water and say, hold up, just one more thing. And they take a toothpick and they stick it over in some manure and they dip it into the water and say, okay, here, would you drink that?
No.
Most of us go, no, you know. Well, why not? It's just one little dab. It's just such a small. Oh, look how much water there is. How clean and great that would be. You know, and you go, no, because that little bit is getting through the whole thing. It's messing with the whole thing. So, it being just a little poison is not good enough. Okay. So the scripture says, then they knew it not. They couldn't discern. They couldn't discern that there was poison in what they were bringing. And, you know, look at their heart. Look at the heart. The heart, you say, well, their heart was, this guy's heart was that he wanted us to all eat together and all feed. But we need discernment, folks. We need discernment on poison. We need to be able to discern what's poison and what's not. And but there's going to be something greater than discernment here in just a minute than these scriptures. Greater than discernment. But that's one of the things we should pray for, folks. You know, we should pray for discernment in relationship, because that one guy, he's coming back and he may be going, you know, you're going to love this. I've, you know, look what I found. I'm helping out here and we're all going to have a good meal. But somebody should have said, whoa, right there. That stuff right there is not going to be good for anybody here. Right? Can you see that? All right. So, in verse, let's see, verse 40. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. There is death in the pot. Okay, so it says they poured out. And we think, well, you know, what we need to do as Christians is we need to pour out. Okay, we need to pour out. All right. There are so many good things that Christians do that still cause problems because they're pouring out the poison here. There's so many good things when we don't realize that it's not about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Remember, from the very beginning, there was a tree of life and there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what do? We walk over to that tree. And we look on the tree and we go, oh, that's evil. No, that's evil. No, oh, there's something good. Okay, I'll eat that. God said, don't eat of that tree. Neither good nor evil. The tree of life, which is the life of Christ, that's the tree to eat from. You know? But we're still on good and evil. And when Adam and Eve ate that, that became, because it's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so our minds are molded to think in terms of stay away from evil and do good. And we think they're two separate trees when it's one tree.
That's right.
And God said, no, stop trying to be good. You need life.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And we know that's referring to the life of Christ. And so we're looking at that and we're going, okay, I'm going to, you know, my tree of knowledge, good and evil, I'm going to pick off all of the evil. And we pick it all off and we go, there. Now, look, I'm good. Do you see me? I'm so good. There's so much good in me. Well, you're already messed up right there because I'm not that much good in you, okay? Well, that's why we need Jesus, okay? So... You know, we're fixated on good versus evil, and so our minds keep telling us, but this is good, this is good, this is okay. What if there was something greater than good? And the answer is, there is. We want it not to be good coming out of us, we want it to be Christ coming out of us. Jesus, the life of Christ. We want more of the Lord and less of us, which might mean less of our goodness.
Amen.
Also, most Christians are ready to get rid of the evil. You know, yes.
If you pluck all the evil fruit off, it's going to grow back.
Well, that's absolutely. In fact, it's going to grow back stronger. She said if you pluck off all the evil, it's just going to grow back. Well, I have found that when you take it off, you know, you try to get off all that fruit, it grows back stronger. When it's growing season and you start pulling it off, man, it comes back stronger than it did before. Okay, so, you know, there is this thinking that just is okay to, well, this is good. It's kind of like a pinball machine, and you hit that ball, and it goes up, and you say, well, that's good because it hit a good point. And this is good, and it hit a good point. And, oh, stay away from that one because I'll lose points. And, you know, that's the way we're trying to run our life. We're just kind of bouncing around trying to, okay, this looks good, and no discernment that there might be poison even in what's good, because that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there is poison in it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So what's the answer? More of Jesus. God, form your Son in me. God, overcome even my goodness, that Christ may fill me, that He may pour out of me, that when my vessel pours out, I'm pouring out Jesus. Not, and look what was in the pot. What was it? A lot of good and evil. Maybe a little evil. Maybe just a toothpick verse portion put on there. And it spoils the, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so, what am I saying on this point? The Spirit of God wants to fine-tune our life. He wants to fine-tune our Christianity. Our Christianity can be so focused on Christianity that it misses Christ. Because Christ is not good or evil. He's life. He's life. So they pour out, and someone has added poison to what they're pouring out and putting now into everybody's bowl, into everybody's pot. And it says, as they were eating, then someone cried out, there's death in the pot. All right. So that means there was a big one. Remember the way that it read? It's like there's this big, big pot, and they all bring their stuff, and they put it in there, and then they all have their little vessel. Okay, so we're all vessels, and they all pour it out, and they all get it, and now everybody's got poison mixed in with the rest of it. And someone cries out, there's something wrong with this. There's something wrong with this. So, I remember when I was reading this, when they said there's death in the pot, I thought, somebody's cooking up death. Somebody is cooking up death. We don't, you know, and the contrast, this contrast is one tree, but it's good and evil. Over here, the tree of life also has death, because the tree of life is the cross, and Jesus died that we may have life. Amen? And the death was first so that the life could come forth. So, verse 41. And he said, then bring meal. And meal is basically wheat that has been broken up. And there was an offering that they used in the Old Testament that was one of the ones that pleased God. There was the lamb that they regularly offered. And there was what they called a meal offering. And the meal offering was a bloodless sacrifice, but it was not bloodless for the seed, because it was a bunch of wheat seed, and you take that and you bust all those up. Some of you may remember John 12:24, and Jesus said, except a seed fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it'll bring forth much fruit. Okay, so Jesus is saying, I'm the seed. All of you are born in sin, and I'm the only one down here that's not. And I will remain the only one unless I fall into the ground and die. So that seed, Jesus, taken to the cross, as it were, put into the ground and died. And as it came back in resurrection, it bore much seed. That's us. That's us. Through Him and through His death. So, but He said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out to the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. one of the things about Elisha was that he was following Elijah, and before Elijah went away to be with the Lord, God gave him a double portion. And I know this is, I don't want to go too far with this, but the double portion has always represented the firstborn, and the firstborn is Christ. Okay. So he sees differently than the other prophets. He sees from a firstborn perspective, or from the perspective of the Lord. We tend to see from the perspective of Christianity, or from the teachings that I've received, but that's seeing through glasses of someone else's teaching. But he saw through the eyes of the firstborn, and he saw the answer. He saw, because that's a lot of food, and they gathered everything they could find around during famine. Man, that's a lot of food to throw out. So he sees through those eyes, and he says, put this ground up, beat up wheat in there. Okay. Most people they're not thinking of what to add. They're going, we need to take away something. We need to attack this poison now. Right? That's what, you know, we got to get rid of the poison. We got to keep everything pure. You know, that's the problem right there. Or that person's the problem right there. See, we're always pointing fingers or wherever. Nobody wants to bring Jesus into this. Everybody wants to just be upset with the problem, and well, there's a problem, and you know, and then this poison is spreading, and people are talking, and da 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 da. The prophet, the man of God, the one who represents the firstborn, he knew better. You add Jesus. You quit trying to take all the problems away, and that's what a lot of Christians do, you know, and even sinners. I know with our Bible school students, we've gone out witnessing and stuff like that, and I've come walking up on one of them that was witnessing to somebody, and he said to this guy that he's witnessing to, he said, well, you got to quit smoking, and you got to quit cussing, and got to quit. And I said, hey, come here. I called him aside. I said, excuse me, I'll be right back. I said, you don't clean a fish before you catch it. He's trying to clean it. He hadn't even caught the thing yet. You know, you got to catch it first. And I said, Jesus is what you're trying to give them. You're not trying to take their stuff away. They don't need to get rid of anything right now. They need to add something. That's what we're talking about here. You need to add something. You need to add Jesus. Once they get Jesus in there, Jesus will clean them up. That's where the emphasis has got to be. But if our minds are always still tree of knowledge of good and evil, well, we got to take the poison away. We got to get rid of this, you know, looking at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We got to pull off all the evil instead of we need to get over here and add the tree of life. We need to add Christ into this situation. That's the only thing that's going to make a difference. You cannot, what is the old saying? You can't unscramble eggs. You can't unscramble gourds with poisonous gourds. You know, you can't separate those. So they were all freaked out. What do we do? This is the only food we've got. We're in a famine. What are we going to do now? This is bad. That's bad that you did this. Can you see maybe people turning on the guy that brought it? You know, man, this is bad. You don't even got any better discernment than this. You're supposed to be a prophet, buddy. You know, you're a junior prophet from now on. You are not a full-fledged one. You know. Because we're concerned with, okay, this is a disaster, instead of saying there are no disasters, there's Christ, and then bring him in and he'll deal with whatever he wants to deal with in the way he wants to. But our goal is Christ. Amen? That's the goal. So he says, and the thing that got me about this is, okay, so picture the thing that have. They've got this big pot and everything, and there's poison in it and everything. And that, so they take the meal and they put it in there. And so my first thought, the Spirit of God caught me pretty quick. My first thought was, we just need to bring Jesus into this situation. And then the Spirit of God said to me, no, you need to put Christ, you need to put Jesus into the death. You got it. Christ crucified is the answer, not just bring Jesus to the situation. That pot's full of death. Let's put Jesus to death in there, and he'll come alive out of it. Amen. He will. You put Jesus to death on a cross, he'll be raised from the dead. Amen. We die without Jesus, no resurrection. We die in Jesus, there's a resurrection. That the addition of what we need to put into to these things isn't just being Christian Jesus. God help me. You're still glad I came? We don't need to try putting Christian Jesus into this. We need to put Christ in him crucified. That's the answer. That's God. Paul said, God forbid that I preach any other thing than Christ in him crucified. See, you put him into the death of that, and from that he will come out of it as life. So, I wrote down in this almost sounds contrary, but in our deadness, add his death.
Amen.
In our deadness, add his death, which means what? Okay, so if a person came into this room tonight or today and they're not born again, but they're dead unto God, they're not alive, they're spiritually not born again, alive, what are you going to add to them that brings life? You have to tell them about the cross. You have to tell them about the death. You have to tell them about what Jesus did on the cross. You don't just say, well, Jesus loves you and everything's going to be okay. You say he died, he took all of that poison down into death, into himself. And he bore that and he went down into death and he put that to death by his death. And he rose again now with us as his life. Amen?
Amen.
So, that death brings life. That death brings life. So they ate. They ate. And now there's no harm in the vessel, in the pot. There's no harm in the pot. Remember I quoted that scripture, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now there's no poison anymore. No poison anymore. Because we're adding Christ crucified. We're not just talking about Jesus. We're not just saying, well, we all have failed, or we all need Jesus, or we're saying, hey, we need to bear about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus. We need to add that by spirit and not just words. We need to bring the very selfless life of Christ into that situation, into that poison. Instead of condemning it, I'm a Christian, I condemn that. Well, I'm glad Jesus didn't act that way, you know. I'll condemn that. Forget y'all. You know, and he walks off. He didn't do that. He said, I'll take that poison. And I'll take it with me to Calvary. Praise God. Well, I'm talking about not just the work. I'm talking about the spirit that he had. The spirit that he had wasn't just, you know, it wasn't, let's just be Christians and put up with brother so-and-so, the prophet so-and-so who messed up. He didn't say that. He didn't say, well, you know, I condemn that. You did wrong to all of us. Look at how bad this is. Completely different situation. We're always reacting instead of releasing the spirit and nature of Christ that he put within us, because we've put so much emphasis on him being far away. You see what I mean? He's so far away. Lord, fix this situation. You know, move magically instead of, okay, I'll bring Christ crucified into this situation. You know, I'll bring the reality that took care of all sin and all death and everything Christ crucified, and I'll do it in the spirit in which he did it too. See that? You're not just preaching the cross. You have the spirit of the crucified himself in that. And you're adding that. And so, you know, it starts changing the whole complexity of all the poison and of everything that everyone's going to eat. Now the emphasis in, you know, and a lot of times too when there's poison in the pot or, you know, if there's a church situation, there's poison in it. Well, we want to pick sides, you know what I mean? Well, I'm on the sides of the prophets that didn't do wrong. Or, well, God loves the sinner and the failure. And, you know, so there ends up being a division instead of Christ being increased in the pot. Still glad I came now? That's getting a little tighter. You know? Because the emphasis has to be him, not us, and not, you know, well, I want to be on the right side of this, or I want to be on the acceptable side of this. There is no side with the Lord. There is no side. We all need Jesus. That's right. We are. Praise God. I wrote down, with all the poison being spread, put Christ into it. You know, it's just that thing that, you know, there's, it sounds so right. We want purity. Well, Jesus wanted purity too, but he, okay, let's use this as an example. Jesus came to the earth. When he began his ministry, he preached the truth, he lived the truth, he did miracles, he blessed, he touched, he did all of this stuff. And when he got to that place in John 12:24, where he said what he said, I'll re-quote it here in a second, there came some Gentiles and said to the disciples, we want to see Jesus. And Jesus' response was, unless this seed falls into the ground and dies, there's not going to be any more of it than but just me. But if I die, there'll be much fruit. So he's saying the Jesus you need to see is the one who's going to go into death. But what he's also saying is not one miracle changed anything permanently up to this point. You go, okay, what about Lazarus? Lazarus is going to die again. You know, I mean, so many of the things. What about the person that, I can't think of one off the cuff, but the whole point was, it was only through his death that we received his life that we are changed. It wasn't through any miracle, no miracle. The whole world still lay in sin until he went to the cross, see. So we're always looking for something, well, we need purity. Jesus is going, there's not going to be any purity. I mean, some of the very people that he probably blessed or healed, or they heard his word and said, well, that was good, probably were in the crowd saying, crucify him. Right. Why? Right. Because we get upset, or someone told me this, you know, and it's poison or something like that. And so, you know, crucify him, you know what I mean? We jump with the crowd or whatever, instead of just, I'm going to be with Jesus no matter what. I am going to bring the life and nature of Christ into this. And I'm going to do it not by joining sides or whatever, but we need Jesus. And, you know, and through that, through an increase of Christ, adding the meal into the situation, all of a sudden, they said, there's no harm in any of the pots. Praise God. I wrote down here, we try to correct the flesh. Okay, so we see something wrong. You know, I know with my kids, when Cassie and the girls were little, you know, my wife and I, we said, you know, instead of just saying, don't do that, that's bad, do this, this is good, we saw that as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we said, instead of that being bad, we would say, that's not Jesus, and we want Jesus. It wasn't condemning. It was just saying, our family, we want Jesus. You see what I'm saying? It's not, you're doing bad, start doing good. It is, that wasn't the Lord, And let's keep, as a family, pursuing the Lord until he's formed in us more and more and more. Let there be an increase of Christ. So the emphasis wasn't on the law, but the emphasis was on Christ. That there'd be an increase of Christ. Okay? So, what that situation needed, what our home situation needs, what our job, what things that happen in the church, it needs an increase of Christ, but Christ crucified. So I wrote down, what is the issue? Not the bad actions of this person. That's not the issue. Not the words that they've spoken, negative or positive, but Christ crucified. And the thought came to me, this is a good measure in a crisis with stuff going on in the family or family life, brothers and sisters or whatever, or a church or at work or whatever. This is a good measure. And the measure that came to me was who in this mess, because you know how these divisions can happen, who in this mess is talking about Christ crucified? Who in this mess is trying to live Christ crucified? Who in this mess is not emphasizing what's wrong, pointing to a tree over here and goes, and then someone else under the tree who's been eaten of it going, well, look at this good piece right here, fruit, though. What about that? What about that evil right there? What about this good over here? You're going, you're on the wrong tree. You know, you're totally off base because you're trying to justify. So you could have, in one sense, you could have this person over here with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and this one having their tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they're trying to stack up who's got the most good. You see what I mean? You know, well, my stack's this much higher than yours. Well, I haven't got to the top yet. You know, because as long as it's not Christ, it's always going to be who's right and who's wrong. Who has done the best or the least evil, whatever. But the question is, who is trying to bring Christ and Him crucified into the situation? Who's bringing ground up meal and saying, look, this is it right here. We're not trying to fix anything. We're trying to bring the Lord. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to fix it. We're trying to bring the Lord, and the Lord fixes it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, what does that mean? It means your heart is, I just want the Lord, mm-hmm. and I want to bring the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not pro or, you know, against anything. I am pro Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not anti-Christ, thank God. You know, I am pro Jesus because He can take care of the harm in all the pots and all the vessels. But if we're not adding that, then the divisions get wider, right?
You're stirring the pot.
Yeah, you're stirring the pot. Stirring the poison, going, this might help. Praise God. So, you know, there's situations in all of our lives. We all have this. Everywhere I go, I could preach this. Because there are divisions, and there are people that have a hard time, and there are things that are going wrong, and there are people that are upset, and there are people that are pointing at their tree and trying to point out their good while putting, like, napkins over their evil fruit on that tree, you know. See, I've got a lot of good. And we, first of all, we need to be discerning enough to go, look, that's the wrong tree. I don't care how much good that you can display. That's the wrong tree. And someone else is not pointing, like this one over here is pointing to their good on their tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And this one over here is not even looking at their tree. They're pointing at your bad over here, you know. And it's just it's an endless maze. There is no end to that because both trees are wrong because it's still the same tree. It's one tree. There is no answer except Christ crucified. And until we start adding him in, that's the only time that it'll ever be resolved or could ever come to a place where God would be glorified, because then the Lord looks at it and he goes, now I'm getting my son out of this. Now out of these vessels, I'm getting my son out of them, because they put Jesus finally in there. And he's eating up the poison, and his life and nature are coming forth. And then he's glorified in the son. And he looks at it and he says, when he looks at all those vessels that really are just one now, he says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Yes. This is the one I'm pleased with. So why did God put Jesus in us in the first place? Not just to save us, but to save us from ourselves. To save us from our opinions, to save us from our preferences, to save us from from all the things that we think are right, when it's only coming from a knowledge that from the very beginning he said, don't eat of that tree. We look at Adam and Eve and we look at them and we say, y'all, you know, go, you idiots. You messed up everything. But we keep eating of that same tree. Does that make sense? We're doing it right now. We're doing that. When we're judging, trying to weigh everything, there's no weighing to that tree. You just get over on the tree of life and you bring the meal from there and you add it in. And the Father just sees the spread of his son being stirred into the vessels. And he's glorified, and he's glorified, and he's glorified. Father, we come to you in the name of your son.
Praise you.
And we just ask you to open our eyes and our hearts more to you and less to the world and the things of this world and the sides that people try to present as proofs of anything. There's only one side, your side, your side from which blood and water poured out, Jesus, when you gave your life, you poured out unto us your life. I just wonder if there's anybody here that you just want to come up for a quick prayer and we'll just pray. It won't be long and I won't embarrass you or anything. It'll just be a quick prayer. But if you feel like you'd like special prayer to just come up here, and maybe there's an issue or something that you're going through, it doesn't even have to be along these lines. But if there is particularly that, then let's pray together. Let's just stand together. Not stand up, but let's just stand together spiritually. Anybody want to have some special prayer, come on out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, good, because the Spirit of God told me we all need it. We all need it. All right. Father, we thank you that your Spirit is trying to get our minds off of ourselves and our problems and our sides, and to get it back, our compass, come back to you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Our compass be fixed on you, and our lives be fixed on you, and our mouths be fixed on you, and we not be bringing poison into the mix, or even allowing poison to be spoken, but we just bring Jesus into it without condemnation, without fear. We stand with you, Lord. We love you. You saved us by your death, and you're going to save us out of these situations by the reality of your death, so that your life can fill us. Father, thank you. Forgive us for all the methods we've been trying. Forgive us for trying the method of trying to make everything pure. Forgive us for the method of trying to weigh which side would have the most right to it. Forgive us for even looking in those carnal ways that really just make you sad to see us looking away from your son.
Yes, Lord.
And draw our hearts that love you so much out more after your son. Draw him more out of our being, out of our hearts and mouths and minds, and hands as we reach forth to bless and to release more of Christ. Father, thank you. Thank you that you gave this word today for this place. And Lord, I know this could be shared anywhere, but you showed it to me just before I left and told me this is what you wanted me to share. This was what was on your heart. So make us more aware of the life of your Son within us. Make us more sensitive to life and not just being led by cruise control and just going through life without the reality of your Son touching and moving and blessing and calling and being able to get our attention when he wants to. We thank you. We love you. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name.